Potter. Great to have you, mate.
Thanks, Gaz. Morning, Tim.
You are heading off on that bike ride. This is really important too for suicide prevention. When do you take off? I know there's a couple of names on that I'm reading that are on that bike ride that I've got severe worries about.
Severe? They don't talk to me at the minute, Gaz. We've got a ride that starts in 13 days, and it's an 1,800-kilometre, 10-day bike ride. About suicide prevention.
And Scott Cummings' name's there. That's the one I'm thinking, my Lord, I hope he's up to speed and ready to go.
That's not a typo. And he's the guy that's not talking to me.
and how do you do the? How do you raise the awareness about suicide prevention as you go? Are you doing talks or what? How's that all working?
Yeah, we've got a significant communication media strategy around this, Gaz. And really, you know, to be very blunt about this, the bike ride is simply the vehicle. We use a bike ride as a way of opening up the conversations. And we respect that suicide and suicide prevention is a topic that not everybody's overly comfortable talking about and perhaps don't find it easy to talk about. So we use the bike ride as the vehicle to engage with people, and we'll engage via all forms of media, both traditional and social, but also we engage with communities and local country towns that we pass through. So we spend a lot of time, you know, engaging with those local stakeholders because, unfortunately, people that live in country and rural areas don't have the same level of resources or access, and we believe that the country people are just as important as the city people, so we want to take the conversation to them.
It is a great thing that you're doing, and that is only one of many things you're doing, which is why what's unfolded in the last 24-48 hours concerns me greatly, and we wanted to talk to you about it. The drug policy, illegal and illicit drugs that are, you know, being used probably in VFL, AFL footy, in sport generally, trying to get to the bottom of a system that that most effectively deals with that. But now the whole mental health situation gets called into question because Ross Stevenson yesterday said that he knows of a club where 16 cases of people who've tested positive for drugs have used mental health as not an excuse, but as one of the reasons. Now, that then means they don't get a strike. How do we deal with this fact that probably and undoubtedly there'll be a couple or maybe a majority of those that are using it as a crutch, but in the process, how do we not lose the genuine cases?
So just so I've got this clear, because I haven't seen the full article, Gaz, Ross Stevenson is suggesting that he knows of 16 players at one club that have used mental health as part of the reason, potentially, for their drug taking.
Correct.
That's right. Yeah, he's been told by an AFL insider that this is a loophole and 16 players have used mental health as a way of sidestepping this.
I mean, if that's factually correct, then I don't know. But if that's factually correct, I mean, that's quite incredible that you've got that amount of players at one particular club. What I'd like to say is I'm not an expert with regards to how we treat, you know, people with illicit drug problems, but I think that we'd be naive to think that there wouldn't be a percentage of players across the competition that have made those decisions. They've taken illegal substances, and a way of minimising the potential for any risk or recourse is to use mental health as an issue. So I think the intention of the current illicit drug policy is to help those individuals that do have legitimate drug issues and drug problems, addiction issues, and also legitimate mental health conditions. But I think that the system and the way that the program is currently being implemented and executed does leave gaps in the system for players to be able to exploit this. So with regards to what they need to do, I'm not the person to be advising the AFL on what they should be doing, but what I will say, it frustrates me greatly that there are players using this as an out clause, because that puts every other player who has got legitimate mental health conditions in the same boat, and they're not in the same boat. These are really complex issues.
Of course they are. Are you aware of some players that are doing that, or are you just saying if that is the case?
I'm not aware of any players, Tim. I haven't had, you know, nobody's spoken to me about it. But I think we need to be realistic enough to think that, you know, we'd be naive to think that there aren't players that have made those decisions. And that's disappointing. So I think that the AFL have a responsibility to review it. Maybe they're reviewing it consistently. I don't really know. But, you know, if you've got Peter Gordon, Jeff Kennett and Eddie McGuire saying that this is an issue, we have to listen to what they're saying. And I think this leads me to a more broader position, and that is, I know the Players Association want to be the organisation that is helping delivering services to help players with mental health conditions. I don't believe they're the right organisation for that. I think the clubs who have the relationships, the intimate relationships with players, are best placed with appropriate professionals to manage and support players going through significant mental health conditions. If there are players that are using the out clause to say, I'm dealing with mental health conditions, as a way of getting out of any punishment or responsibility for taking illicit drugs, I'd like to think that there's a pattern of behaviour. There are certain things with regards to a player's behaviour and individual's behaviour that would indicate that they are potentially living with mental health conditions. But if there is no history of a player who has actively sought out professional support internally or externally, Players Association, club doctors, whoever it might be, for mental health conditions, and then all of a sudden they've used mental health with regards to trying to get out of any punishment with regards to taking illicit drugs, that would be an issue, or that would be a red flag that I would want to investigate that further. If a player then has said, I've got mental health conditions, and they've taken no active steps or sought professional help to deal with mental health conditions, then that would be another red flag that I would want to investigate. I think there are patterns of behaviour that would indicate that a player has legitimate issues with mental health conditions. And if they don't, then that needs to be investigated.
Have you spoken, we've only got a minute, Schwartz, have you spoken with the Players Association or the AFL about some of the things you've just mentioned there? Have they sought your counsel?
Not specifically illicit drugs, Gaz, but I'm in ongoing conversations with the AFL directly with regards to the issue of mental health. And that's something that I continue to work closely with them. And, hopefully through the course of this year, we start to see some really proactive things done in that space. But the illicit drugs, no.
I'm glad that's the case, and you should be the first one that's consulted. Appreciate you jumping on this morning. Good luck with the ride, mate. Pucker up.
Thanks, boys.
Puckerup.com, PUKAU up.
That's it. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Tim.
I just want to...